Well, a lot of you know, I first just want to say thank you. I was gone for 2 weeks. We took a trip with some teenagers to Mexico. But I want to say thank you for all the people who supported and helped the children. What I always say for a short-term mission trip is that the journey is the actual destination. And even though the teens had an amazing time while they're in Mexico and California, that we all marveled how God provided throughout the whole trip. I also want to say thank you to Greg and to Steve Sedlock, who I heard both did a fantastic job. So let's give a hand up for those two. For preaching, and for also Gail and everyone else, the Clarks, for helping out. I really appreciate all they've done while we were away. So we love you guys, and thank you, and the Dixons, for greeting. So thank you for all those who run the church when we're away. Well, as you know, we took a trip to Mexico. We actually were flying this time last week. And don't be scared now. I'm not going to do like, we're going to show you 25 pictures of our trip to Mexico. You know, you're like, oh, though I know a lot of you would enjoy that. I thought for fun, I would try to incorporate the sermon in with our trip. And I also be praying for our teens, because they say standing in front of people can be a very stressful event. So if you start praying for our teens, they're going to come up here in a little minute, but I'm going to buy them a little time. But they're going to share a few things from their heart, and I'm excited what God's doing. One of the reasons, too, I wanted to share briefly is that for a lot of us, it's hard to process sometimes when we do something. So my job is not only to speak to the church, but I also want to speak to our team of four and kind of help them know what God did. So let me just briefly tell you what happened on the trip, and then we're going to bring them up and have a few of them share. We went to a place called the Door of Faith Orphanage. It's about 100 orphans, and it's located just about an hour and a half south of San Diego between a town called Rosarita Beach and Ensenada. The cool thing about this orphanage, it started in 1959, and one of the things you're going to hear today from the people we met in Mexico as well as the teens is that we didn't realize how many people decided to serve others other than being served. And the people we met there had one thing in common. They all said, you know what? They heard a call of God to no longer be served, but to serve. And then the story was, so many went down there with nothing, and how God provided, it blows me away. So what happened, they had $35 in their pocket. This couple drives across the border in Tijuana and wants to open up an orphanage. But what's interesting, a couple years in Tijuana, they realized they needed more room, so they found an abandoned dude ranch. And this dude ranch is interesting because John Wayne, Clark Gable, and Steve McQueen went quail hunting there during the highlight of Hollywood. So what a lot of Hollywood actors would do is go down there for the weekend. They would shoot, just relax. It's a very peaceful place. Well, these Christians found this, and they went ahead and got this from the government, and this became the Door of Faith. And you still can see, I believe those are the original Dude Ranch brick openings from the Door of Faith. But so we went, we had a great time, but the team was my lovely daughter, Ashley Elizabeth, my oldest daughter, my son, Andrew, and Gina, Kim, and Owen Novak. By the way, I've always called it Novak, and it's Novak, so I want to repent publicly of that. Anyway, so Owen Novak, and they let me tell you something, this team was amazing. It was my smallest team I ever had, but we had a great time. And of course, yours truly, a little bit fatter, a little bit tireder than usual, but there I am, changed over the years. But just to give you a brief overview, and then we'll bring the teens up. What they did is, one of the projects we did is the girls painted one of the shelters down in the lower campsite, and they worked all day painting on that. Then the boys painted the animal cages, and one of the things I've asked Owen to share briefly, if he wants to do that, is that how Owen went down to serve God and was open to anything, but Owen loves animals. And isn't it like the Holy Spirit and God? Every time we step out to do something, guess what? Out of all the projects we could pick, this is rare, they go, guess what? Does someone want to work with goats, pigs? And I just love it. And I looked at Owen, and I started crying. I go, Owen, you came down open-hearted, and yet one of Owen's biggest passions is animals. And what Owen going to do? He could spend the week with animals. So it's just, isn't that cool? So again, that's what God does. So then you've been proud of the kids. They also did a day of hard labor, like being on the chain gang. They moved a bunch of gravel. Another youth group had come down and brought a bunch of gravel, hadn't got to it, so the kids cleared out all the weeds, and it was amazing. I actually kept saying, let's go in, it's too hot, I'm fat and old, I'm just kidding, I did it better. But let's rest. These kids, they just kept going and going. You've been proud of them, they worked hard. We also went up to a trash dump, and a little bit my daughter's going to share about this, but there are basically people living on this huge trash dump in Tijuana. And then the kids learned a lot about the in workings of an orphanage, and they learned about how all the animals are going to be, you know, slowly eaten and used for that, but Owen was okay with that. He understood the circle of life. But we learned about all kinds of different animals, and it was neat how the orphanage was that. But probably what touched us all the most, as I've talked to the team now, is spending time with the orphans. There's 100 orphans there, And just spending time with them was amazing. Gina is actually going to share, too, how she got touched, where these orphans, and I don't want to steal Gina's thunder, but what was neat is these orphans seemed at peace, yet they had nothing, yet they seemed to have a lot more. We're going to talk about that. And, of course, they're teenagers, so we had lots of fun on the water. And they had so much energy, don't ask me why, but they got a bunch of giant boulders, and the whole team rolled those boulders down there and stood on the water. So that was a fun little afternoon project. So I knew they were ready to do some hard work when they could do that. And then Gina Kim did amazing. She made this amazing Jesus. Yeah, I was right. And it was there almost all week. We kept coming down and looking at it. But Gina did that on the first night. And so we just gathered around. So I was just touched to how much Jesus did. But on a trip like this, especially with teenagers, it's hard to know what's going on. But I also know, as a group, a lot of you have come here, we've got some visitors, I always want to also be able to speak to your heart. So what I'm going to do today is I'm going to speak to the whole group, including the team, and you can kind of listen in on this. But there's four things I'd like all of us to ponder about this. So if you guys want to come on up now, you're all excited, you get to come up. Let's give a hand for the team up here. They're coming up for a bunch of these old scary adults up here. Thank you, guys. Come on up here. Well, I just wanted to share a couple things and then hand it over to them. And so, but there's four things I'd like the whole church and the team to ponder. And I think we'll all get something out of this. But the first question I wanted to ask everybody, am I a leader? Now, as I look around, as I look around the group, a lot of you in this room, we've got professors, we've got owners of businesses, we've got sales managers, we've got people who've been pastors, we've got coaches. It's easy for you all to say, I'm a leader. But what's hard, though, for some people is sometimes stay-at-home moms struggle and go, am I really a leader? And so sometimes we struggle with that. A lot of times if you work in a cubicle, some of you work in jobs like, am I really a leader? It's harder for you to see that you're a leader. Also, some of you who are more in your retirement age, you're gardening and stuff, you're like, am I still a leader? And also, I noticed when we went on the trip with the teens, I'm like, are they leaders? And so I think the teens at first when they were down there, they were spending time with the kids. The question I kind of wanted to pose to you guys and to the whole group, though, do you consider yourself a leader? Now, again, for a lot of you in this room, you're a structural organizational leader, and that's really easy. A lot of we have some very strong leaders in here. But for every one of us, not only are we leaders structurally and organizationally, but we're more leaders than we think in our community and our life. And I wanted to challenge everyone to think about this. Are you a leader or not? And I think the answer is yes. We all do serve in some form of leadership. And what the teens really learned, and I hope they'll share some even while they're up here, is that spending the time with these orphans only for a few hours a day, they were influencing these orphans. They were showing them that somebody, a bunch of white gringos were willing to come. One thing that a lot of them said was, you're from where? You're by Chicago? They couldn't believe we would travel that far. They understand a youth group crossing the border from San Diego, but they're like, you guys took that much time and effort and money, and it really touched a lot of them. Also, some of you don't realize, but you're also a leader even among your friends and just some of your acquaintances. And so the definition of leadership I'm using today is called a process of influence. If you're to boil down the word leadership, it's basically just influencing. And why I wanted to bring this up is that I think God wants to challenge all of us, including the team, that wherever we go, we're always influencing people, either positively or negatively. And so again, one morning, the boys were down there chopping up potatoes, and the question I asked them is, are you being a leader? And I was going to say, yes, they were, because they were influencing people. And if you're cooking, Ashley and Gina were in the kitchen, and I'll have Ashley share a little bit more about that in a moment. They're making breakfast. And then Gina was doing an amazing job connecting with the infants. And so as we do all this, we need to realize that all of us are leaders. So here's my first challenge for you to ponder. Anytime you seek to influence the thinking, behavior, or development of people, you're taking on the role of a leader. And why I want you to think about this is even for Mother's Day, and even for all the mothers out there, we do influence people all the time. The question we have to ask is, are we influencing people positively and for Jesus, or are we influencing them negatively? And so that's the question we want to ask. And one of the things that really blessed me with all the teens is that how much as they connected with these children, the children understood about love. And all these, most of these girls spoke zero English. Quickly, the kids were able to communicate how much they loved one another. Now, there's two major ways we influence each other in leadership. One is by words of guidance and encouragement, so by what we say and what we do. But it's also by words and behaviors and how we assist people in making decisions. But the biggest thing we got to be careful of is that do we influence people positively or negatively? So the first thing I want everyone to think about and realize, you, including these four teens up here, we are all leaders. And I want you just to take a moment for a second, and this kind of sobered me up as well, is that like it or not, we are all affect and influence others all the time. And so what I've told the teens is even though they went on the trip to serve, by coming back, they affect their family. We all affect and influence our family, either positively or negatively. And like it or not, we also all affect people at work. Now, again, a lot of you in this room, we've got some very strong leaders. You know that if you're the employer or you're a boss, you're definitely affecting and influencing people. But do you realize also as an employee, and some of you are more on the servant levels, how much you can affect at work? I'm sorry, I was a slide behind. Thanks for, you guys didn't tell me. And also at school, we also affect and influence others being in school and also in our church. Are we an encouragement to people in our church and especially into our community? Second thing I'd like everyone to think about then is if we're all leaders to some point of view, how and to what end will we use our influence? Have you ever thought about that? Now, for a lot of you who've been in business for a long time and leaders, you realize that what you do, the decisions you make, but here's how we want to boil it down, and this coming back to Mexico. Do we seek to serve or to be served? That's a really question to ask ourselves, isn't it? Well, one of the things we first start is that the directors of the Door of Faith is DJ and Lynette. And DJ and Lynette, 21 years ago, DJ was a successful director of marketing at a very successful company in Southern California. Lynette was I think she has a master's in child development. The two of them decided they didn't want to be served, they wanted to serve. So what they decided to do is go down and help out with the orphanage. Second day we got there, we went to their church, and their church is a vineyard-esque kind of church down there, and I'm going to have Andrew share about his experience. Which one do I turn for? Is it select or mute?
My friend, when I got back from Mexico, asked me how Mexico was, and I didn't even know I had this in me, but I replied to him. Give me a second. So I basically said that it was really legit, but humbling. And I didn't mean to say humbling, but he asked me how was humbling. So I texted him this. Just the fact that people down there, even in their poverty, are still helping others and are still joyful and thankful. For instance, the church we went to in Mexico was planning a mission trip to another part of Mexico to hand out groceries to people in need, even though they were in need themselves. Americans, myself included, tend to complain about their situation if it's bad and expect to be treated nicely but giving nothing in return. That just humbled me because even though they were poor at the down in Mexico, they went to help other people who were poor because God wants us to serve others always.
Thank you. I thought that was really profound when I heard that too, because here this church is about the same size as ours, and out of their poverty, they were willing to serve a church that was poorer than them, and that really humbled me. And where DJ really humbles me is that all his orphans, when we got there that day, all the older orphans weren't around. They were out serving poor orphanages. And he's like, you know what? You're not victims. You are servants of the Most High God and out of your own poverty. So DJ, why I love going to this orphanage is they serve out of who they are. Isn't that not cool? And that's like all the teens were amazed is that here, you know, these, of all people, they should be wanting to do that, and they're willing to give out of the richness of who they are. So then the next group we bumped into, there was a man, he's on your far right, Mike and Kate Logan. They, again, were successful business people getting close to retirement. They went down to the orphanage, and they decided they did not want to retire. They wanted to spend the rest of their life serving orphans. And so now they've been down there, I think, now for 2 years. And they help out, they're volunteers, and he said they're the happiest. They were going to get a big trailer, travel the United States, but they're now in an orphanage giving it all away. And you know what? They're the happiest people I've ever met in my life. Now, we also met a girl named Brianna Towers, and I'm going to turn this over to Ashley because Brianna Towers does an amazing ministry. Do you want to tell her briefly about Brianna Towers and what was amazing about that?
So Brianna Towers was a homeschooler who came from a small town in a farm country, and it was really awesome because she was really sweet with all the kids, and one of the ministries that she does is the Breakfast Club, and it's in Little Dump in Tijuana. That's where we got to go, and they're called the Dump People, and the adult's job is to go through the trash, and they look for metal that they use to sell to survive, and one of the things is at the Breakfast Club, I saw their hands, some of the adults' hands, and they were black, and I found out that they used their bare hands to work with the metal, and so that was just really terrible. And the other thing is there's a picture of us at the church. We got up really early. We look really tired in that picture.
Do you see how Owen's really smiling? Everybody there, they were all, everyone's a little tired there. Owen smiled the rest of the trip. I just want to say that. He was just a little tired. We got up a little early.
But at this time, it was really emotional because it smelled really bad. It smelled like there's lots of trash everywhere, and there's actually an open sewer in front of the church, and there was just trash everywhere. And that's actually a picture of the trash surrounding the church. And then the houses surrounding the church, the next one, is it was really hard because there were a lot of houses, and they used cardboard garage door openers, and some people went on the freeway and took down billboard signs to use as walls and roofs, and they used tires like for walls. And it was just really hard to see that there was a lot of them, and that people, it was unreal that people actually live in those houses. So that was really hard. And then we got to feed a whole, like, 60 kids who came in, and it was really sweet to see, and it was also heartbreaking to see all those kids, and they only get one hot meal a day. And this is actually, the next one, is me and Gina and I, we prepared the dishes, and then Owen and Andrew and my dad would serve to the kids, and then we got to prepare it at like 6 a.m., all the breakfast.
Those are the boys making refried beans. They pounded for almost an hour.
And so, yeah, that was awesome.
And then and here's the team. Basically, I think we served about 67 orphans and about 20, 25 adults. And also, one of the boys came up and gave each one of us this little scorpion, and this is the kind of metal that they melt down. And so what the kids do is they get these big long, and they make money this way. And so the boy gave it to us as a gift. Of course, I gave some money later, but what we were blown away was how giving all they were. And Ashley, would you want to share, one of the things you said to me was about how, you know, you come to church here and you're seeking after God, but tell me what happened on the trip that was kind of profound for you about how you connect with God.
I felt really close to God when I was at the little kitchen in the dump of Tijuana, and it was really awesome because I've never felt that close to God before, and I was serving these dirty, poor kids, and yet I was so filled with joy, and I was just really excited to be there, and I really wish we spent more time there, and I'm really excited to go back next time.
Thanks. And what was really profound on this trip, and I think a lot of the older people here know this, is that it's a weird thing in the kingdom of God. As we serve others, you know, one of my old pastors used to say, you know, we need the poor more than the poor needs us. And what that means, I know it sounds kind of weird, but what that means is basically we need to realize that that's where God's at. He is moving among the poor, and that's a great place to be. And by the way, just so I don't forget, James on tomorrow night is doing a chicken dinner outreach. Do you still need helpers and money? Are you doing okay? Okay, but see what... 4 o'clock, right? And the name of the park is?
West Side.
Great. Thanks, James. And so what was really neat is I've talked to the teens about this, is that in the midst of serving and giving, that's where God meets us the most. Another man we met named Dave Hessler, this man was a very successful police officer, and he actually was high up as an investigator up in Sacramento. He went down to the orphanage and did this breakfast club several years ago. He was asked by the pastor to come back, please come back and visit us. He was so moved, he went up to Sacramento, gave up a very successful private investigation officer job, came down there now, and basically he sold everything. And I asked him when I was there, I said, you know, here you're a man who had lots of money. He goes, Jeff, I have nothing now, but I have everything. He says, I'm the most satisfied and happy that I've ever been. And what his ministry is, he basically, if you're in Tijuana and you need a taxi driver, his job is to get you through that day to survive. So he helps all the dump people to Tijuana. And this girl right by him with the blue, she had been a crack addict for years. And just to hear the story over and over again was amazing. One side note, there was a man who had been in this place was operated by a bunch of gangs. And one of the gang members had just come to Christ. He had tattoos all over him. So I took a step out, and I said, I know you don't know me. I'm a white, skinny, green. Well, not skinny. I'm a, I'm a fat white gringo guy. And I said, can I pray for you? And I started to pray, and they go, how does a white gringo guy from Chicago know all about me? And it was neat how God used me and the team to be able to pray for these people. But what Dave and DJ and Lynette and Brianna taught us is that they were willing to serve other people than not to be served. And that's an amazing thing to learn. The third thing I wanted to just challenge everybody is, am I willing to follow Jesus as my leadership role model? And so one of the questions, if you have your Bibles with you, would you turn to Matthew 20, 25 to 28? But if you don't have your Bibles, I put it up on the screen here for you. Let's read this together. Jesus challenges us in a way that I don't think we always think about. It says this, Matthew 20, 25 to 28. Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Do we really believe that? Do we really let that be in our life? And so what I really realized as I saw this is that all these people said, I want to serve rather than to be served. So here's the last question for a lot of us to ask ourselves. Is Jesus really a relevant role model for us today in other aspects of life? And let me show you one more scripture, and then I'm going to have Gina share a little bit. Is in Luke, if you have your Bibles, Luke 5, and I didn't put this up here, Luke 5. I want to show you something I had never seen before. Jesus was out preaching in the area, and Peter and all the fishermen were listening to him. Let's pick it up in Luke 5, 1 to 11. Luke 5, 1 to 11. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out in deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Listen to Simon's response. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I'll let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. I had never seen this before, but Jesus is in the boat, and he does something interesting. He says, guess what? I'd like you to go over there and fish. And what's Peter say? And this is our challenge to all of us. Peter says, I respected Jesus for knowing the word of God and knowing spiritual stuff, but fishing is my business. I know fishing. And how come a rabbi is telling me how to fish? And what I love about this story is that though he took a faith and did it, do you know Jesus knows also about spiritual stuff? He also knows about fishing and marketing and school and business. And what I loved about this, the teens went on this trip, and why this really challenged me is that Jesus wants to be the Lord of your life in all areas, and he wants to influence in everywhere. So here, let's just go around the room, make sure I mess up a few people. A lot of you will say, I know how to manage people. They serve me. You know what? Some of you might want to consider differently. Maybe is Jesus a relevant role model for you? And for some of you who are business managers and high up in authority, maybe stop and say, you know what? Maybe Jesus' model works not only in spiritual things, but also in work. Also, when I get after the teens a bit, teens will say, I know how to treat teachers, parents, and adults. They serve me. And you know what? No, that's not the case. Jesus' model is a better way. Also, it's all of us who are married. Let's be honest. I know how to treat my spouse. They serve me. That's not the way we're to be in a marital relationship. We're to serve one another. So what was really challenging for me as we were in Mexico and with this scripture in Luke is that Jesus also knows fishing, and he also knows all about your business, your school, and your life. Are we all willing to allow Jesus to come into different aspects of our life, not just in the spiritual stuff? And so what really convicted me is, here's the last question for us to ponder. How would Jesus live your life differently if you allowed him to do his model of leadership in every aspect of it? So as we were at the door of faith, what really impressed me about the team is how quickly all four of them dived into the orphans. And dived into the orphans, that probably doesn't make sense, does it? Dove into the, yeah, thank you. Dove into serve. Thank you, honey. So I dived into the... Anyway, what I loved how they connected with the kids. And so what was really interesting is how fast our teens were just loving on the different kids. So I found out that this orphanage does 70 loads of laundry per day. So the next time you guys complain how much laundry you have, they do 70 loads a day. But as I watched Gina among the kids, I just wanted her to share briefly some of the things, if she'd like to share, as she was spending some time with the orphans.
While I was there, like, it sort of surprised me how, like, all of the kids were, like, so happy and stuff, even though, like, we got to see their dorms and, like, they didn't really have that much stuff. So, it really surprised me how they all seemed so energetic and happy and stuff, but then, like, here, like, people aren't as happy, even though they have like a bunch of stuff. So, and then also, it also like, cause at the orphanage they said it was something like you have like, essentially you have 100 brothers and sisters, cause you live with them every day and see them every day, and so they'd sometimes be like, a kid would like fall down or something and get hurt, and then right away, even though like without an adult doing it, like another kid would come over and help them up and like be their sort of parent figure, and that sort of inspired me too. So yeah.
Great, thank you, Gina. That's really good. We also found out that, I just talked to DG this week, they serve and prepare 2,850 meals a week for the kids. That's quite a lot of food, quite a lot of eating. And then again, Owen, if you wanted to share briefly, but what was neat with Owen is that Owen came down and he was a major servant, and Owen was great with the infants. But did you want to share just kind of your experience with the animals or anything that was kind of impacted you on the trip? No? Okay. You guys, I'm so proud of you guys being up here, but I'll just go ahead and speak for Owen then for him, is that what really impressed me about Owen is that Owen just wanted to serve, and he just wanted to help, but what I loved about how watching the Holy Spirit in his life was they had tarantulas and scorpions in the air, so every night we were looking for tarantulas and scorpions, having fun, but Owen really has a passion for animals, and he's really good with them, and so I thought it was fun, though, when we were sitting there going down the list, I go, DJ, what do you need, and, you know, it was so odd that they have, you know, that doesn't come up very often, but I said, hey, you know, what about the animal pins? And so here we got to spend a whole day doing something that Owen loves, yet something that the orphanage really need. And they have a sign with the chickens called Extra Crispy. And so it was really nice. But Owen and Andrew, bless their hearts, they, in Mexico, you do things special. Like they wouldn't let us take down the chicken wire stuff, so the boys had to paint underneath it. And the man who was overseeing the chickens only spoke Spanish, but it was really fun. But Owen and I were sharing, I'll share for him, that it was neat how he went down to be open to do anything for God, and yet God knew the desires of Owen's heart, and he let God let Owen do some fun stuff. This just gives you a picture of how the girls are all kind of put in there, all the bunk beds and all the toys. But as Gina was saying, some of these children only have 3 or 4 stuffed animals in a cubby, and that's all they have. And yet they go through 175 rolls of toilet paper, 70 gallons of milk, and they take 980 showers a week. Isn't that crazy? And this is where we were staying at. We stayed in that yellow part right there. And the kids did tons of work around there. This is called the middle campsite. So they have a lower, middle, and a higher campsite. Why we love going to this orphanage, and I hope we can go in the future, is DJ is trying to expand orphanages, and he's a consultant now. And it's one of the most successful orphanages in the entire Baja. Another funny thing the kids realized, and if you guys want to jump in on this, is that in Mexico, if they decided to do some work on the street, they just started digging a giant trench, and we had to wait sometimes for 20 minutes, a half hour. There was no set rules, so we'd sat there all that. That was the only road into the orphanage. And then Andrew realized that he just played tic-tac-toe with some of the orphans, and they didn't have an iPod or an iPad yet, though. They did want to borrow your guys' phones and iPods, did they not? They took a bunch of selfies. Just for a little humor here as we're finishing up, is that they have 2 outhouses. One's called 1st John and 2nd John. I thought that was really cool. 3rd John is you have to go outside in the bathroom, but I thought 1st John, 2nd John is great. Another funny thing with the kids, I warned them when they got home not to put toilet paper in the trash can, but there we could not flush toilet paper. So one of the nastiest jobs we had to have a trash can, and you could have to, all your toilet paper had to go there. So that was kind of one of the more grody things about that. But anyway, finishing up, we really enjoyed with the orphans. We really enjoyed serving them. And I hope for all of us that there's more joy as we serve others, God does something special in our hearts. And I know it might take months or years for the teens to kind of realize all that God did. But one thing we realized is that we went down there to love and show the love of Jesus, how much God touched our heart. Does any of the guys want anything last minute to say? You guys just want this to end, don't you? Just want to get off the stage. So anyway, so we had a great time. We've been really proud of the teens. But I just want to encourage all of us that we are all leaders. We all do influence people. So the question we all have to ask ourselves is that how do I want to be influenced? Do I want to serve or do I want to be served? And I hope for all of us, we decide to take the model of Jesus. It's still relevant today that Jesus wants us to serve other people in our marriages, at school, at work. And I think as we do that, I just think God's going to do some amazing things. So I just want to say what's so cool about it is that, and thank you for all who prayed and supported, four teenagers went down to Mexico and they came back learning a lot and God used them in a special way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for what you did in and among us and this team and for so many here who didn't go but prayed and supported us financially. And Lord, I pray for all of us that we would take the model of Jesus and serve. One of the last pictures you left the disciples before you went to the cross was washing the feet. I pray that every one of us in every aspect of our life, at school, at work, in our marriages, in our friendships, that we would serve our family and friends. We would not want to be served. We would do a life like DJ and Lynette, that we would lay everything down. And Lord, also like we learned from DJ and Lynette, that in our poverty, in our pain, in our things that we're, in a sense, feel like orphans, we would serve out of the joy of the Lord, not being victims. I pray that we would learn to serve other people and find that joy. So Holy Spirit, thank you for bringing us back safely. Thank you for this trip and for this time. We give this now in Jesus' name. Amen.